Hello, friends. This is the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr. We're broadcasting actually from the base of Mount Adams today in Washington State in North America. This is one of two energy portals, energy vortexes on the U.S. West Coast. The other one, of course, is at Mount Shasta. It's a beautiful place. I was there about 3 or 4 weeks ago. But I'm broadcasting from James's Gillian's UFO ranch. Here we're 12 miles from Mount Shasta, and at night you can actually see UFOs going in and out of the south part of Mount Shasta. They go into the inner earth. Mount Shasta. Anyway, and it's an incredible place. I think James is safe to say that the distance between the dimensions here, between the third and fourth, fifth dimensions, are fairly small. That's why you can see the UFOs here so many times.
Exactly. The veils are very thin here, and it's not just the UFOs. The veils are thin between the other dimensions, and there's other, you know, elementals and beings that we thought are mythological that seem to be appearing to people. So whatever you're aligned with, if you're aligned with the nature kingdom, you know, the nature spirits appear to people. If you're aligned with the masters, the ascended masters seem to be appearing to people, and we're getting photographs of those as well. And, you know, if you're aligned with you know, the angelic kingdom or the higher spiritually and technologically advanced ETs, they're making their appearance known too. So, you know, it's all connected. All the other dimensions are working together in harmony, and humanity and just a few groups of malevolence are the ones that are out of sync, and that's what's being cleaned up right now. There's just a massive cleanup going on.
Well, and I know that from my conversations with friends in the Galactic Alliance, that the timeline changed about 4 or 5 years ago. And up until that time, we were, I think we were on a track to some pretty awful things. But nowadays, we're on a track to a far better humanity, a far better future. And your ranch here, James, I is right on the forefront of leading humanity to a better place.
Yeah, we've been working on that. It's you know, there's all kinds of doom and gloom predictions out there that have come and gone. And, you know, the 2000 series where all the computers were going to die, and the 2012 where everything was going to collapse. And, you know, we've heard so many things from everybody holding hands and ascending, you know, which didn't happen either. But, you know, there's things going on right now. I had all these friends say, you know, we're going to go hold hands and sing Kumbaya and at the harmonic convergence. And they max out their credit cards and everything. So I won't be around to deal with it. You know, unfortunately, you know, things came and went, and they're back with huge debt, you know, and having to deal with all that. You know, I tell them, don't quit your day job, you know, because there is a progression going on. It's exponential. There's waves of energy coming in as part of the awakening healing process. You know, I think we will hit critical mass, and there will be the 100th monkey syndrome, you know, where everybody's going to be shifting, or most people. And also the ones that aren't frequency specific aren't going to make that shift. You know, they're going to move on and operate through another timeline on another earth, basically. But, you know, we are moving in that direction, and that's our agenda here, is to really empower people and, you know, teach self-responsibility and teach people tools and techniques to clear, you know, unseen negative influences and maintain your own self-authority, and also, you know, learn to lead ourselves. You know, we need to stop giving our power away to others that continuously abuse it and misuse it and use it against us. And so everything we're working here towards is empowerment of the individual, self-responsibility, and give people tools and techniques to stay on track with their own awakening and healing process.
One thing I wanted to ask you about, James, you had a fascinating audio recording of what you call lion beings. Is that right? Half human, yeah. half lion beings, and also you met half kitty cat, human beings. Mm-hmm. So, with that, I think it'd be perfect if you could play one of the play a recording for us.
Great. Yeah, we'll go ahead and play that. I wanted to kind of set this up a little bit, though, because, you know, when these things happen to me, you know, I think I'm going nuts, and then I look in history and find out there's a long history of these feline beings, like Sekhmet in India, Nerissa. You know, there's all of these different panther-type beings throughout history, and there's statues of them, and you know, the lion beings were the protectors of the gods. You know, they came with the Anunnaki, and as I said before, Sekhmet, there's all these other statues of these lion beings walking right alongside the humans, and they're back. and the benevolent Anunnaki are back along with these beings, and they're here to right a wrong and shift things. And so, and I'm really glad they're here because they're the backup. You know, they're like the cavalry that are coming to help people out, you know, and the light workers and the ground crew that are here, you know, these are the beings that are coming in to help us out, you know, in these challenging times. So I wanted to, with that, I wanted to play this one recording to let you know that these beings are here, and we kind of spiritually deciphered the message, and the message was basically that we're here now, we're watching things, we're stepping in, we're going to be taking care of business, and also a lot of love, you know, moosh moosh, when he says that means much love. So we have deciphered a lot of this, and I gave it to an ITT person, a professor, and it's a woman, and she said, I have no idea, this language isn't in our books, you know, anywhere, and so she couldn't decipher it. So the only way you can decipher it is by spiritually listening to it. But I kind of want to warn people, it's coming from a very, very large being. He's 17 feet tall, he has a huge chest cavity, his voice is very, very deep, and when he purrs, you'll hear him purring like a lion. And so, you know, if you have a lot of fear around that, if you're afraid of demons and a lot of religious programming, this might not be for you. So just a little disclaimer, but I'm going to go ahead and play this for everybody.
Thank you, James.
Okay, I'm going to cut off there because there's just a whole lot of purring in the background. And when I first heard this, I was on a phone call with my sister, and he cut into our call and just started talking, and it just blew both of our minds. We go, what is this? You know, and luckily, it left a message on another friend of mine's phone in Hawaii named Miles, and also Jennifer, it left a message on her, she recorded it. So thanks to her, we got this recording, but you know, it's, you know, I don't know what to make about it other than my own intuition telling me what it is. I've had other people try to debunk it and they can't. You know, we will see what transpires. But we're having amazing contacts with these beings right now, and they're coming in to help.
That's just incredible. Now, do they live in another dimension, higher dimension, James, and in this universe or another universe?
Well, they're seventh dimensional beings, so they wouldn't be on our dimension. A lot of these beings we contact, we ask them, you know, where are you from? And they say, it doesn't matter, you have no reference points. You know, so, because we can only see third dimensional things, and we have things cataloged, you know, the Pleiades, the Orion system, things like that. But, you know, a lot of times if we were to go to the, if a Pleiadian comes to us and we were to go to the Pleiades, we wouldn't see them because they're on the fifth or sixth dimension. Same thing with the Orion Council of Light. But because the vortex here and the veils are so thin, they are making themselves known. They can drop their energy down so we can see them, experience them, and they're doing a lot of healing work for us. And you know, I can get more into that on why a lot of these prophecies of doom and gloom didn't happen later, if you want me to.
Sure, I would love to. My next question, of course, I always like to ask about the future of humanity and what your friends off planet say about that.
Basically, they're saying we're screwed. No, I'm just kidding. There's a lot of help. We had massive solar flares that were kill shots that were supposed to be taking us out. And actually, NASA photographed these ships sitting right before the sun, expanding their fields and taking the hit for us. And so a lot of these prophecies about the kill shots and all the technology going down and civilization ending would have happened if these beings didn't intervene on our behalf. They've intervened on earthquakes, where massive earthquakes were supposed to come, that ships went over the faults, and where there was maybe an 8 or 9 point quake going to hit, it turned out to be 2.4s or 2.5s because they altered the tectonics there. They've also intervened in Chernobyl. They came over Chernobyl and helped with that situation, or everything would be an extreme mess. They are helping in Fukushima right now. Mm-hmm. And they've done a lot on our behalf, and it wasn't for their actions. And even the pole shift, they've averted that. And so, we would have had 1,000-foot waves, cruising across the continents, and that's been averted so far. So hopefully they'll keep working on our behalf. And you know, I hear people all the time, why should I believe in ETs, or why should I deal with ETs? And I said, because everything you think is real wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them, So it's time to rethink that program.
One of the fascinating things that my friend Scott Lemriel has told me, he's been in contact with the Galactic Alliance now 54 years, and he said, James, that there's been a pole shift on this planet every 100,000 years or so. Mm-hmm. So even when civilization's able to advance spiritually, that they often get wiped out every 100,000 years, and then you have to start all over again. But the Galactic Alliance has stepped in and stabilized it, so there's not going to be a pole shift.
Exactly. They've done a lot of work on our behalf. And they think a civilization and a planet is a terrible thing to waste,
Yeah.
So
sure.
They have so much invested stock in here, both biological, genetic, and, human genetics and plant and animal genetics in their terraforming, which happened a long time ago, that, the biological diversity here on Earth is like nowhere else, right. And it needs to be respected and honored and preserved, and that's what they're worried about. They want life to continue here. They want it to continue to evolve. They love the diversity that's happening here, and they want to see it continue. And it's sad because there are certain groups here that are just bent on bringing things to a close. And they have some weird religious belief if they crash everything and create World War III that the Messiah is going to come, whatever their form of the Messiah is. There's all mm-hmm. kinds of crazy beliefs out there that are creating severe negative impacts on the planet. So it's time for everybody to take responsibility, for their impact on the planet and how they're affecting humanity and the Earth, and start thinking about the next generations, the next 7 generations, like the Native Americans do, mm-hmm. and just stop participating. A good example is the nuclear industry. We haven't needed nukes since 1930. And actually, there is a plant running right here in Wenatchee that's actually a Rolls-Royce engine, like on the giant jets, mm-hmm. is being run on water, and it's generating massive amounts of electricity. So we don't need the nukes. They're not necessary. That's a dinosaur technology that's here right now that can actually take the place of the nukes. So and then they're getting contracts to build new ones after Fukushima and Three Mile Island, all these other meltdowns that are happening. Our leadership is actually giving out contracts to build more nukes. So, to me, if I was an ET, I would slap myself in the forehead and go, oh my God, when are they going to learn? When are they going to stop this self-destructive program? And when are the people going to rise up and say, enough's enough? And I think that's what they're at, where they're at right now, is they're doing all they can to get the message out that we can turn this planet around. We can learn to lead ourselves. We can clean up the environment, and we can take back our health, and our welfare. And it's what we need to do now. It's so important that we all tap into our own self-responsibility and stop blaming God or the devil for everything in your life, or blaming ETs, or blaming mother or daddy, or whatever else is going on. We need to release the past, let that go, and step into our power and just say enough's enough and stand in our own divinity.
I've been told that outside of this planet, unbenevolent advanced human civilizations, that actually nuclear power or nuclear energy is illegal.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's insane. It's insane to have that, it tears rifts, in the continuum. It's like, it's a real mess. Every time we light off a nuclear bomb or even the test, they have to come in and contain it, mm-hmm. So we don't create a shock wave or a cascade effect. So you know, a good example is when they first let off the first atomic bomb, they didn't know if it was going to ignite the entire atmosphere of the Earth and create a cascade effect. They weren't sure if it was going to be able to be contained or it was just going to be localized. You know, it was like a 50-50 shot on what was going to happen, and they lit it off anyway. So this is the type of consciousness we're dealing with. The same guy that was involved with these nuclear bombs wanted to set off all these nuclear bombs all around the planet to stop global warming, just blow everything up into the atmosphere, and that would stop global warming. That was his solution, you know, just cover us all with radioactive fallout. And this is the short-sightedness of these people. That same guy created the chemtrail program that we're using today. Teller is the same.
Teller?
Yeah.
Teller? Oh, that's amazing.
He's dead now, actually.
Yeah, well. Oh, well. Oh, well. No great loss.
Thank God for small favors.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I was going to ask you if you've ever had any conversations with your ET friends about with the true purpose of this planet that was originally established as a Garden of Eden, true Garden of Eden?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the original intent was to create like a Garden of Eden where it was an experiment where 12 major star nations got together and they terraformed the planet. And it was a kind of a universal peace project where they all got together and they were all going to work together on this and add all of our genetics and biological, you know, together, you know, and see where this goes. So it was a grand experiment, a very good good program. And unfortunately, even the terraforming planet that was here to do that was actually the moon, and it got hijacked. And so in our ancient history, there was a time when we had no moon, then we had two moons, and then we're back to one moon. Well, those are the terraforming planets that were here to help. And I know a lot of people say this is totally far-fetched, but the thing is that when they, I think it was the Apollo, when they sent the lander back, you know, into the moon and crashed into the moon, it rang like a bell. They were surprised at how long it rang. So the moon is hollow, you know, it's occupied, so is Mars. And we've been going back and forth to Mars since 1960, so that's a shocker for you. But, you know, we don't need to be sending astronauts up on firecrackers and hoping they don't go off, you know, and that's what we've been doing just to keep the illusion going that we don't have this technology.
One of the incredible things that Randy Kramer told me, and as well as Corey Good, who I'll be having on a week from today on my show, was that the Nazis actually landed on the moon in the late 30s, were there in the 40s. After World War II, they brought about a quarter of a million, between 200,000 and 250,000 members of their technical division of the SS from Germany, and they established a space base in Antarctica and with a corresponding a base up on the moon. And one of the things that Randy Kramer told me a couple of months ago was that those Nazis were actually incorporated into this secret space program in the 70s.
Yeah, that may very well be. You know, Jim Mars has done a lot of research on this, and he says basically we're being governed by Nazis and negative ETs.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that has been the case. You know, we have been under draconian rule, but that's coming to an end, and we are moving into a whole new world right now, and the old grid that maintained that is collapsing. And what's happening is that there's no stopping this process. The Earth, our solar system, is moving into a highly energized place in space. We have to match the frequencies of where the Earth is evolving to and where the solar system is evolving to, or we can't stay. It's that simple. And we're known throughout the universe by our frequency, and our frequency is the sum total of our beliefs, our attitudes, and emotions that we have in the world, our old wounds and traumas, you know. If we're carrying that around, it's lowering our frequency. So the highest frequency is love and joy and bliss and service. And so the more we align with those energies, the higher our frequency. And when we reach a certain frequency, the ships come in and they said, okay, this one's ready. You know. So, but the Earth is changing frequencies. She's on a huge shift right now, a huge quantum leap in evolution. And we have to join her and match her frequency or we won't continue to express down here. And, you know, the kingdoms that were built on tyranny and the draconian rule are actually collapsing right now, and they're coming to a close.
I've heard from several sources, including Corey Good, that actually many of the reptilians have already been kicked off the planet.
Yeah, it's I can't remember what the percentage is. The majority of the reptilians and greys have been taken care of. The archons is another story. You know, they're being cleaned up. You know, we're down in the low, 10% on down as far as the things that need to be cleaned up. But some of the 10% are some real bad nasties, and so they're really having to call in the higher guns and to clear this out. You know, and the beings that have total use of creational energies, because, you know, a lot of these really nasty beings have set up insurances and they have certain things set into place, and they feel safe. You know, okay, if you mess with us, we push the button,
right?
And so they have to be careful on how they deal with these last remaining beings. And so they're very articulate when they're, or meticulous you might say, when they're doing this, and making sure that there isn't a huge backlash to what they're doing.
For those who are just tuning in, this is Out of This World Radio with your host Ted Marr, broadcasting today from just 12 miles away from the beautiful base of Mount Adams here with James Gilligan at his UFO ranch here in Washington State. One thing I wanted to throw out there, and let's say I have a lot of listeners around the world, James, and if you're, for example, sitting somewhere in London or England or Japan or Australia or South America or even in Seattle, for example, mm-hmm. and you're asking yourself, well, what can I do to help this process along to make the planet a better place, what would you tell them?
Basically, you know, we need to go within with brutal honesty and take a long, hard look at ourselves. And mainly, I think it all begins with clearing up our own issues, our own mm-hmm. wounds and traumas and wrong conclusions from past experiences, and then sharing that with others and helping others, you know, in their process. That's the main thing. And also just keep your intent pure, an open mind, a loving heart. And you'll be found. I mean, the masters of the higher dimensional beings, the ETs, will find you. And it's all about, again, about frequency. It's about rising up in your frequencies and letting go of the past and the old wounds and traumas, and also initiating this experience. It's very important for us to ask for help and to be open to that help when it comes, and not resist it. You know, when our stuff comes up, just go into it. Feel it, you know, cry if you need to, you know, let it go. It's very important right now because we have so much help to help us in this process, but we do have to initiate it. We do have to ask for this help.
I think it's very important, too, to think thoughts in a positive way, mm-hmm. no matter what happens, dealing with people. And along with that, if you see a homeless person on the street, give them, even if you can't give them a couple of bucks, a little money, give them some kind words. Those little random acts of kindness do help people out. And as Dr. Emoto showed before he passed away last year, your good thoughts in the fifth dimension do have a positive effect in the third dimension.
Exactly. You know, everything on this dimension owes its existence to the dimension above it. Mm-hmm. And so people don't realize that, you know, a lot of things happening here are actually already happened on the fourth dimension. Mm-hmm. And the fourth dimension is full of all kinds of crazy things. It's a massive dimension. You know, the low levels of the fourth dimension have the malevolent spirits and the regenerate ETs and things like that. The mid levels of the astral level or the fourth dimension have people that just crossed over, you know, that are going to be, they're on the wheel, you know, reincarnating. Mm-hmm. High level of the fourth dimension, you have masters and teachers and things, but they're still locked into some religious belief or culture belief of separation. They haven't gotten into unity consciousness yet. And when they finally get that, they get off the wheel and they're in the higher dimensions. And those are the beings that we work with, are the beings that are off the wheel, that are here in pure service mode, and they're very high frequency, very loving, very powerful beings, and they're here to help humanity and the Earth.
One of the events I'd love to mention, I don't know whether we'll have this next year or not, but this year in May I went to what's called the Symphony of Peace Prayers, held by Dr. Irvin Laszlo from Budapest, Hungary, and Mr. Spiro Serongi. Wonderful men, and they have a Symphony of Peace Prayers for the entire planet to create a far more peaceful and harmonious planet. Mm-hmm. And at the same time they did their prayers on May 17th outside Mount Fuji, they were doing the same prayer outside of this beautiful castle in Copenhagen to create a worldwide movement. They've done that, I think, every year for the past 9 years, and I hope they'll do it next year as well. But they're wonderful men. They came on my show in May. I was very grateful for that. But that's the kind of efforts needed, as well as the Moto office in Tokyo. They do a lot of wonderful work with love and gratitude, but that's the kind of change I think needs to come.
Yeah, I think it's great what they're doing there, and I think we're going to be working with the Moto office real soon through Greg Sullivan and Jay Seti. They're very involved in the work that we're doing. They love the work that we're doing here, and and hopefully we can get some of this water out, you know, this super oxygenated water that it has a crystallized oxygen in a microhydrant. So it's an extremely healing water. Dr. Yamamoto saw this water. We looked at the crystals, and he went, oh, my God, you know, these guys, like, synthesize love in a bottle, you know. So, you know, if you want to check it out, you can go to Langenberg Research or Langenberg Water. It's Langenberg Water on the net and check this water out. And I think it's a godsend right now because of all the things we're up against, because oxygen is the highest systemic antibiotic you can get. And when you increase your blood oxygen and raise your pH, a lot of these other problems just go away, you know, including cancer. So a little disclaimer, I don't own stock in this company. I just know what it does and how awesome it is. And so I actually worked 7 years free as a volunteer there just to help them get it out. So that's how important this water is. But it's definitely a godsend for today and what we're being challenged with.
One of the things I have to mention again, I mentioned this earlier, was Angel Water from the Moto Peace Project in Tokyo. They gave this water free to the kids at Fukushima, which helps prevent cancer. And originally it came from a spring in Chernobyl where it was a doctor there found that kids who drank this water from this spring never got cancer. And could you imagine the kind of beneficial that effect that would have worldwide if it could be marketed worldwide? But for now, they focus in on the kids at Fukushima who do need it. And that's why I do a lot of my fundraising for that effort. I donate 100% of whatever monies I get in to the project whenever I can.
Yeah, I'd like to look more into that water and see what's actually in it. I mean, there's a lot of waters out there, and you know, the proof is in the pudding. You know, basically, it's if it works, it works, and if you have results, then it's a good thing. But there's a lot of claims out there, and a lot of different waters out there. And what I've seen with a lot of them is, you know, the oxygen waters, you turn, pop the lid, and you hear, you know, it's gone, you know. And so because there's nothing to bond to. And, you know, I just be careful and do your research on a lot of these waters because there are a lot of them out there. And some of them, you know, we've tested them and looked at the water, and they were worse than tap water, you know. They're making all these claims. So just a little heads up, you know, water's going to be worth more than gold. And so if you've got your hands on a really good water and have it checked out, and if it's, you know, it's stick with it, you know. But
one of the simple things you can do if you have a bottle of water is simply to write love and gratitude on it. There's a friend of mine in Bellevue, and they've been writing love and gratitude on their bottles of water for months now after my programs. And they drink it, and you really do feel regenerated. And you know, it'd be a very simple thing for an American water company, for example, to market that. And here I'm probably having a corporate executive and the light bulb's going off saying, love and gratitude water. That's all they have to do is write love and gratitude on the water, and you'll energize the water. The other thing you can do, too, is to play Mozart, which is a beautiful tune. But Mozart, according to my friend Ray Chandran, who was here, is a wonderful spiritual healer from Japan, told me in July that Mozart was far ahead of its time. And if you listen to a lot of Mozart, it'll actually increase your vibrations and gave entryway into higher dimensions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. These people are really tapped in. I have a friend that channels. She's a very clear channel, and she's also teaches piano. And all of her kids excel. It's amazing because she never tells them they're doing it wrong. You know, she goes, try this. Here's another way. And she would sit down and play Mozart. And when she would play it, you would feel him come into the room. And she would just channel him. And that levity, that he's kind of a real character. And it comes through when she's playing. You can actually hear it come through as she plays it. But very high spirit. You know, he was a very unlimited soul. Probably pissed everybody off. Because he was uncontrollable. But, you know, most of these masters are. You know, they don't think like we do, and they don't operate like we do. And a lot of these young masters coming in right now, we need to be a little more lenient with them because they aren't here to become part of this society. They're here to bring in a whole new society, and they're not here to fit within the box. And we need to honor that and respect that and support them in bringing in this new higher consciousness and energy in the ways of a more advanced civilization.
Now, one thing that we'll be doing special tonight, James, is doing a Skywatch. where all of us here will go out into the sky, out into the field here, and look up in the sky, and I'm going to be sending love and light to our ET friends up there and asking them to power up. But one of the messages that I got here in July was to make a request on my radio show, which I've done several times, to ask them for their help in cleaning up the planet, especially Fukushima. So tonight it's at 10 p.m. Seattle time, which is 2 p.m. Tokyo time, or 1 p.m. Sydney time, or let me think, 8 or 6 a.m. in London, or 7 a.m. in Paris and in Germany. I'll be doing a water prayer asking for help from our friends off planet to clean up Fukushima. And I appreciate it if you could do the water prayer, which I mentioned earlier, which is, water, we are sorry. Water, please forgive us. Water, we love you. And water, we thank you. So I'll be doing that tonight at 10 p.m. Seattle time, which is Pacific Standard Time. If you could join me in that, wherever you are, to send love and light to the kids of Fukushima and to Japan, and asking for their help, the benevolent help in cleaning up Fukushima, would be wonderful.
Yeah, it's great. You know, the collective consciousness and experiments are so important right now. I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but we did an experiment on the Art Bell Show back in the day on Coast to Coast, where we did an intention experiment to contact the spiritually and technologically advanced beings and bring them in. And we're very kind of strict about the guidelines, that we're only asking for contact with benevolent beings that are spiritually and technologically advanced, that are here to help us. And so we qualified it. And after the experiment, Art told me he's never had that happen before. All of his lines were full. All the emails were full. For 2 weeks, they couldn't get on top of all the sightings and all the people that called in.
Wow.
And actually, people called in when we were on the air, and they said, well, it worked. You know, we had ships right overhead, and, you know, shooting beams across the sky, and just all kinds of things happened. So, you know, it's so important that we start doing collective, you know, intention experiments to get into unity consciousness and unite and start creating the world we want to see. Get out of reactionary mind and get into creationary mind and start creating. Because the more we do this, the more we can turn this planet around.
Absolutely. Well, I'll be doing that tonight at 10 p.m. And no matter where you are, that's 10 p.m. Seattle time. Please join us. We will be asking for their help. And I know that collectively we can make a beautiful difference in the world. I was going to ask James, I know a lot of people have questions about extraterrestrials. What other beings have you met here, benevolent ones?
Boy, the list goes on and on. I actually have a photograph of a being that appeared here, and actually his head looked just like E.T. He looked just like the movie E.T. These beings, they're not grays. They're very, very ancient beings, and they wear robes, and they drop in out of the plasma fields, out of the higher dimensions. And most people will run when they see these beings, but if you stop and hang out, you know, master your fear, they have a lot to offer. They're very, very ancient. And that's one group. We've seen a lot of groups that look like us. There's a lot of humans out there that, especially in the Pleiades and the Orion system and other systems that look just like us, Alpha Centauri, things like that. They look, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference, basically, if they're walking down the street. If you're sensitive, you'd just get bowled over by their frequency. You know, you'd feel so much love coming from them and energy. But, you know, the... there's so many different beings. We've had the felines come in, and one group are the humanoid-like cat beings. They look, they're tall, a little taller than we are, and they look like humanoid felines, basically like a, kind of a cat human. The next one up would be more of a panther-type being that is a six-dimensional being, which we've experienced. And on the seventh-dimensional being are these lion beings, and they're very tall. The males are about 17 feet tall. The females seem to be about 14 feet tall, and they're portrayed as Sekhmet and Narishta and things like that in the ancient India and Egyptian, you know, lore. I'm trying to think of all the different beings. I've seen so many different beings, I don't even know where to start. You know, I've seen these prune-faced beings that... they have a real prune face. I've seen some with ridges on their head, you know, like the Klingon type beings. I've seen, but they're benevolent. The ones I connected in were very benevolent.
Sure.
I've seen beings that are just pure energy, and beings that have energy bodies and energy ships. I've seen beings that have magnetized light bodies and light ships, and a lot of them would mythologically be called archangels because they're Andromedans. There's a whole civilization of them, and they're 8 to 10 feet tall. They have magnetized light bodies, and they have huge energy fields around their body. And when they come into this dimension, those fields feather back, and they look like wings, but they're not really wings. It's their energy fields. There's so many different beings. You know, now we've got these blue avians starting to show up.
Oh, that's right.
And a lot of different beings are coming in. And there's a lot of controversy over the blue avians, and people are saying they're AI. And same thing with the Maya group. They're trying to say that they're Plejarans and there aren't any Pleiadians. And if you're saying Pleiadians, you know, you've been hoaxed and whatever, you know. But the problem with that is the Pleiadian civilization and contact with the Pleiades goes throughout all the indigenous cultures. Mm-hmm. And they point to the Pleiades and they say the word Pleiades. So there's a long history in that. And I kind of want to warn people, if anybody says they have an exclusive on ET or God, you know, grab your wallet and run. You know, don't. Yeah. You know, we can all connect to the source and we can all make contact. And do not give your power away to these people. It's about personal responsibility. It's about making our own connection and you know, making our own contact and making our own connection with our own source within us.
Have you had any contact with the Sirius B benevolent entities?
I'm not sure if I have or not. There was a race that was a black race that actually comes from Sirius and were very, very benevolent. You know, we've had them pop in every once in a while. You know, I'm not sure. I'm not sure where exactly these lion beings come from because, you know, we're talking other dimensions. So it's hard to nail down. I mean, we used to have the name of their planet and everything, you know, somewhere recorded. I'm not a detailed person.
That's all right. James, did they ever give you advance notice, like if I letter in the mail saying we'll be showing up this date or anything like that?
Well, they do, and it's well documented. Paranormal State came out here, and we told them at 10 o'clock in the east to have their cameras ready. And I told them to aim northeast, and we had a huge ship power up treetop level and come in, and it actually flew around the mountain. And you know, even on the air, they said that. They said, well, James did say at 10 o'clock this ship was going to appear. And they go, what time is it? And he looks at his watch, and he goes, 10 o'clock. You know? So we have a long history of pre-knowledge of them coming in. Cameras are rolling and ready, and you know, and we filmed the ship, so it's been well documented that there is contact going on here and a telepathic communication.
Can you contact the Sasquatch as well? Ask them to come in, or they pretty much pick their own schedule?
Well, even the ETs pick their own schedule. You know, you invite them and you see what kind of response you get. But yeah, people come in and say, "Can you summon Sasquatch?" or "Can you summon the ETs?" And I started laughing. I said they would be laughing so hard if I summoned them that they probably couldn't grab the controls, because that's not what they do. You know, we have no control over this. They're free thinking beings. They have their own agenda, and they're working very hard on our behalf. And sometimes they're busy. You know, sometimes they can't come. So because they're working very hard on the awakening, healing, and liberation of the earth. So, you know, it's very important to realize that we need to get out of the ego and stop trying to prove these things and force these things. We need to kind of surrender and allow these things to happen and be grateful when they do happen.
It's probably safe to say that you feel completely protected here from any negative entities.
Well, I do feel, I mean, I have my challenges. They do come here because it is a Stargate. And a lot of the people I know that are very adept, you know, they tell me everybody wants the Stargate. You know, the insects want it, the reptiles, the greys. But it's a benevolent Stargate, and it's for the higher dimensional beings. So, you know, I have to deal continuously with cleaning up the Stargate here and making sure these other entities don't get a foothold or come in, you know, or, you know, get their fingers in the pie, so to speak. So there are a lot of challenges, and, you know, I've taken some pretty serious hits from that work. And my body as well, and so I'm in the process of recovery, you know, from some of those, sure. Some of those little battles, you might say, with some of the reptilians or serpent beings.
Well, that's good. Well, I want us all to send you lots of love and lots of light, James, for your farm here, for your ranch. You do an incredible job. Tell my listeners, do you have some events coming up in the near future?
We do. We've got Randy Kramer. I mean, Captain K, he's from the Mars mission, but he's coming up, was it 25th, I think?
25th.
April 25th through the 27th. He's doing a psionic workshop here, which is going to be fun. We also have the self-mastery class coming up, the workshop, October 9th through 11th. And it's like an ambassador training, but I am going to have Tashina. A lot of people knew her as Itasha, and she's an Arcturian. Actually, genetically, she is Arcturian, and she's a contactee, and she brings in some wonderful energy. And when we work together, magic happens, amazing things happen. So I'm really looking forward to that. And she has a strong Native American influence as well that she's bringing to the plate, basically. So those are the two main events. I probably forgot something here. Oh, we have the big Thanksgiving event we're going to have towards the end of Thanksgiving. So we're going to be open through October this year and having a big gratitude gathering around Thanksgiving. So be sure and check that out. And it's just a time where we give thanks to all the people that, you know, supported ESETI through the years, and other people come to, you know, meet people of like mind. And it's going to be a really fun event. I'm not sure the details, but we'll have those up on the site, you know, real soon.
Well, please let me know as soon as possible, so I'll put a link to my site so people can certainly check that out. And one thing that caught my ear, you said love, you said gratitude. That was one of the hallmarks of Dr. Emoto's research, was love and gratitude.
Exactly. You know, it's like, you know, you don't keep helping somebody if they're ungrateful.
Right.
If they keep demanding, eventually you say, fix it yourself. You know, that's just nature of the universe.
Right.
And so the more gratitude, the more we give thanks for things, even if we don't have them and they haven't happened yet, even if we give thanks for our own healing when it hasn't happened yet, we're actually programming that into the future. And so it's very important. Gratitude is very powerful, and it's a stream or an energy that allows help to come, and it allows the universe to step into that vacuum that you've created by being grateful. So it is very important to be, you know, grateful for the energy. And one of the recordings I have, and, you know, I didn't even think about it, but this beautiful ship showed up at 5 in the morning. And so I'm out there, and I go, well, it's 5:30 in the morning or 5 in the morning, and I was... You know, it was pretty cold and tired. And this ship came out, and I grabbed it on film. And when it came over, I just went, thank you, thank you, thank you, you know. And it comes across on the tape. And when people see that, it really shocks them, because they see the gratitude. It is actually creating the contact. And so it is important for us to step into that mindset of gratitude, of gratefulness, and allow these experiences to happen. And start creating your own reality. If you want to have a contact, create it, you know, and set it, do an intention around it, you know, and make it happen.
I think one of the most important things to do if you're really having a bad day out there is to stop for a minute, meditate, and think of all the things you can be grateful for instead of dwelling on the negative.
Exactly. I mean, you know, if you're breathing, you know, it's a good day for me. You know, if I wake up and I'm breathing, it's a good day. You know, if I can get out of bed, it's even a better day. You know, so, you know, that's the way I look at it. You know, and if I have food on the table, that's even better. You know, so, you know, we need to start, you know, really enjoying the good things, you know, the little things, even a hot shower, you know, be grateful for that.
It's, sure.
You know, you get out in the woods for a while, and all you can think about is like, you know, a good meal and a hot shower after a while, and we don't appreciate those things until they're gone, you know, and especially people too. We need to be grateful for the people in our lives. You know, it doesn't matter how cantankerous they are, what a character they are, it doesn't matter. We need, you know, we start thinking about what it'd be like without them. You know, it'd be a very boring existence.
I've been so blessed doing this radio program, because I know it's my sole purpose to try to make this planet a better place. And I've met some incredible and fantastic people who I would have never met without doing this kind of work. And for that, I wouldn't trade this what I'm doing now for the world. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. James, we've got about 10 minutes left, and I was wondering, I'd like to give you the floor to, is there any particular direction, any topics you'd like to go over in our last few minutes here?
I think, you know, what it all boils down to, and every teacher I've seen, every researcher, everything, it boils down to individual responsibility if we are going to turn this planet around. And we need to be responsible for our actions, our attitudes, our emotions, our beliefs in the world, and especially our actions right now. We can't continue to support programs and agencies and things of that nature that are harmful to humanity, the earth, that don't operate under universal law, mm-hmm. you know, that don't honor, you know, the basic international rights or human rights, you know, that we all have. And we have the right to live a thoroughly loving, joyous, abundant life, you know, in communication with our Creator, whatever that may be. I mean, that's a divine right, you know, and freedom and individual prosperity and peace, all those things come with that right. And so it's time for us to stand up for those rights and just say, you know, enough's enough. You know, I'm tired of the uneven dispersal of wealth. I'm tired of the manufactured lack. I'm tired of the free energy being withheld. I'm tired of the technologies that heal that are being held back, you know, and just I'm done with it. And just say it's time to demand these come forward and demand the leadership step up to their role and the powers given to them, and if they aren't, remove them. And that's it's so important right now for us to actually take responsibility and stop blaming anybody, everybody else out there, and start doing something. You know, step into your own personal connection with Source and talk from the heart and just lay it out there and just sit, you know, and start saying enough's enough. It's time to turn this planet around, and it'll happen when we as individuals stand up and make it happen.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. One thing I wanted to emphasize toward the end of our second hour here, James, is that both Randy Kramer and Corey Good, who have been serving in 20 years in the secret U.S. space program, talk about the kinds of energy sources they have. And those sources should be available to this planet, don't you think, to the people here?
You know, I agree 100%, and I'm working on that very issue right now. I can't talk too much about it because, you know, we are working with some of the best minds in technology as well as the most powerful, richest people on the planet. They're not the ones you know about. They're not the Illuminati families. They're other ones. They're very, very ancient that actually want to turn this planet around together and getting them talking. So heavy, like something intense like this.
Hello, 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 hello. Can you hear us, folks? That's okay. We just got unfortunately. And James, could you reiterate what you just said? What we just dropped out here.
Well, I think it's the futile, you know, because you can't stop this process. But there are still those trying to throw monkey wrenches in the process. But it is going to come about. And, you know, we all need to hang in there and do our part. And don't get too discouraged, because eventually the light does win and the dark arts do fade away. And they're no longer frequency specific to the earth. And they can't even incarnate on the earth again. They're done.
Mm-hmm. What we were talking about before, just before we got our call to our interview here dropped off, was about free energy and how the secret space programs off planet on Mars and Moon both use free energies. They don't use petroleum products at all, and it costs nothing. And we should have, I think we should have that kind of technology here for the masses of humanity on this planet.
Yeah. Well, actually it is on the planet, and I've actually held it in my hand. So we have devices that are a small pie plate, you know, that it has 9 coils. Each coil puts out 25,000 watts, and it's actually anti-gravity or counter-gravity when it revs up. So those technologies are here. They're on the planet now. It's just a matter of having the leadership to get these out and the people standing up and demanding that these technologies come forward.
Absolutely, James. Well, I wanted to give you, we've got a few minutes left, what kind of parting message would you like to give to my many listeners around the world?
Boy, stay away from fluoride, because <laughs> the fluoride is working. So we have to get rid of the fluoride and get people, you know, really eat close to the earth, get really close to the earth, get away from all the processed food, start drinking clean, purified water, know where your water is, get out in nature, take your shoes off, and focus on love and joy and bliss until you become it.
What if you live in a city like Seattle, which has fluoridated water?
Well, you're going to have to get your water from another source, you know, and probably you can get out in the parks and walk around and, you know, but they do have organic markets and things like that where you can get some good food.
Sure, absolutely. And perhaps it's time to change that water, to change the water system in Seattle to take out the fluoride.
Well, you know, there are water systems right now that will actually take sewer water, purify it, burn off the dross, create energy from that, and put out clean oxygenated water. And that, those are some of the systems that I've been involved in that are, in case there's a disaster or whatever, you can bring one of these devices in. It generates an enormous amount of power, and it burns, you know, some of the water burns, but it cleans the water up and creates super oxygenated water, which is a healing water. So these technologies are available today, and I've been very involved in getting these technologies out.
Mm-hmm. What about organic foods and getting away from genetically modified foods?
Definitely get away from any genetically modified foods. You know, they're insane. You know, the people that are creating these things. We need to get away all that. Get away from the herbicides, the pesticides, especially the glyphosate. That is so deadly. It's one of the. It's like pure poison. You know, we need to get rid of all these things. The Roundup is another name for it. And you know, start getting close to the earth and behave as if all life matters. You know, see the Creator in all creation.
One of the interesting things that I learned here earlier this year is that much of the wheat here in the United States, after harvest, the farmers will spray it actually with Roundup to make it more puffy, and they'll make a heavier weight so they can get more money out of it. But actually, when you eat the wheat then, you're actually eating Roundup-tainted wheat.
Yeah. Well, you know, I go gluten-free whenever I can, you know, and stay away from the wheat. And, you know, there's just so many different things they're doing right now that are extremely detrimental to our health. So again, we need to eat closer to the earth, get away from the processed foods. If you can grow your own food, that's even better. And just find out who's raising your grains. You know, make sure they're being raised organically, as well as the vegetables and everything else that you eat.
Absolutely. I just want to let everyone know that for those who are just tuning in, this is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting today from Mount Adams in Washington State, from James Gilligan's wonderful UFO ranch. We're having a skywatch tonight. If you did leave Seattle now, you'd be in time to see the UFOs here tonight. And also, too, I'll be doing a special water prayer asking for the benevolent help to clean up Fukushima and protect the wonderful people of Japan and the Pacific tonight at 10 p.m. Seattle time, while also doing the prayer of water, we are sorry. Water, please forgive us. Water, we love you. And water, we thank you. We'll be doing that 10 p.m. tonight. So no matter where you are in the world, I know I have many listeners around the world, please, if you could join us in this prayer, sending love and light to the kids of Fukushima and the Emoto Peace Project and Michiko Hayashi for her wonderful work, that would really be appreciated.
All right. I can't thank you enough for having me on the show. And you know, to all the listeners out there, don't give up. Don't give up hope. You know, the Calvary's here and the changes are coming, and we need to match the frequencies as the earth ascends into her next level. And also, too, I want to mention we have a major self-mastery workshop October 9th to 11th, and the registration is open for that. So if people want to really connect with these higher dimensional beings, you know, this is the place to do it.
And if you are in the area, as I said, from Seattle to Trout Lake, it's about... what, about 5 or 6 hours, something like that?
Yeah,
that's not bad.
Yeah.
If you're in Vancouver, British Columbia, a bit more, perhaps 8 or 9 hours, perhaps.
Yeah, a little over an hour from Portland, hour and a half from Portland.
And if you're in Spokane, probably about, four hours maybe?
Yeah,
3 hours, something like
hours,
that?
So
it's not that far, really, friends. And it's not that far to come to a place where the distance between the different dimensions is very, very short. And I guarantee it'll be an experience out of this world.
All right. Well, thank you so much for having me on the show. And, well, you know, again, just keep an open mind, a loving heart, and pure intent, and watch the magic.
Thank you, James. And thank you so much, my friends, for listening today. This is another wonderful program from Out of This World Radio. 1 week from today, we'll be having on Corey Good talking about The Secret.
If man is still alive.
Bye.